Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
Deuteronomy chapter 20. Now, I will not read the whole chapter to begin with. I do plan on reading much of it, if not all of it, as we go through this. But the context of my message this morning is taken from the whole chapter of Deuteronomy chapter 20. And of course, in this chapter, we read of God's law to Israel concerning their warfare. And that's basically what it's talking about. Now, I actually have four things I want to give you this morning, but the first one is what I want to emphasize the most. I'm not prepared to say it's the most important, because who am I to declare what is the most important? Who am I to say that? But it's what I want to try to stress the most. Therefore, for those who are listening live or online, whatever, I mean, you'll hear the whole message if you stay with us. But for those who hear this on TV, they may only get the first point. It's just according to how long that where that timer's at. I don't want to rush through the first point. That's what I'm trying to get. Now, as I said, we have here in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 1 through 20, we have God's law concerning Israel's warfare. Here's a question. What lessons can we draw from this text? I must say, far more than what I will have time to give you this morning. And I must add, far more than what I have ability to give you this morning. For I am sure, having done this for 36, 37 years, I read a text, I preach from a text, I go back to that text later, and I begin to realize how little I knew about that text when I preached on it the first time, or second time, or third time for that matter. So let's go. But what I want to do is go to the end of the chapter, and then we will work our way toward the first part of the chapter. So we'll start at the end and work our way to the beginning. So let's look at these lessons. Here's the first lesson, what I want to concentrate on for the most of my time. Here's the first lesson. Israel was to not cut down food-bearing trees for warfare. Now, this was a... I know this word could be misunderstood. This was a practical command.
Yes.
And let's read it. Verses 19 and 20, last part of the chapter. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time. In other words, this city is probably fortified. Maybe a walls or something around that city, and they're besieging the city. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time, in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, for thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Only the trees which thou knowest, that they be not trees for meat. So you see what he's saying. Don't cut down, if you will make a battering ram, if you're going to make a ladder to scale the wall,
right,
whatever, if you're cutting down trees as a weapon,
yeah,
don't cut down the fruit-bearing trees.
Exactly.
Don't, and forgive me if I mention a tree that's so little you really couldn't use, but an almond tree. Don't cut that down.
Yeah.
Why? Because if you do, it's like the old phrase, you'll be cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So he says, only the trees which thou knowest, that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with them, with thee. And then here's, I started to title it this, but I didn't. Until it be subdued. I thank God for that truth when it comes to the gospel. I'm glad God Almighty besieged me until I was subdued.
Amen. That's it.
Now, I know there are those today who are preaching that God has put forth his best effort. Or maybe on occasion he has a big spurt and really tries to get somebody saved, but they actually believe that it's not up to God. They will actually say, and I know we say this a lot, it seems so cliche for me to say it over and over, but this is a common phrase that people who profess to be Christians use. God has done all he can do. Now it's up to you. That is not the truth. That is a lie.
That's it. Amen.
God don't have spurts. He's the almighty king of heaven and earth.
Amen.
And jump to the beginning. Verse 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, what is the natural inclination?
Yeah.
Whoa. Uh-oh. Whoa. Look. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Consider, my brothers and sisters, what God did for you back yonder.
Yes, sir.
Even in your experience, and we don't rely on the experience.
No.
We rely upon Christ, but he gives us experiences.
Yes, sir.
And look at where you were and where God's brought you to today. Do you really think there's any enemy out there that he can't conquer?
Yeah, that's it.
And yet our old self, our old man is prone to shrivel.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Because of the immensity of the enemy
that's
in front of us.
Yeah.
So remember, Israel was to not cut down food-bearing trees for warfare. We have a warfare. Paul mentions it and calls it a warfare. He uses military language. And it's actually recorded for us in 2 Corinthians 10. And you could be turning there if you're following along. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And let me get to it as well, because I do want to look at that some. As I said, my first point for the TV may be the only point that's it makes it to the TV. In our warfare, we must never compromise. That's the lesson I see.
Yes, sir.
In this warfare, do not compromise the truth of the gospel. You will cut off your nose to spite your face.
Exactly.
What am I talking about? What do I mean when I say that? In other words, two major things here in this first point. Never dull the gospel sword. Never dull the gospel sword. Or the scripture's truth.
Yes.
Now, the gospel is all truth.
Yes, sir.
The gospel is all truth.
Yeah.
But this book contains truth that is not the gospel.
That's true.
Now, you understand what I'm saying here. I think most of you do.
Yeah, you're right.
The gospel is all truth. And the gospel is all about Jesus Christ the Lord. But in this book talks about us as well.
Exactly.
Who we are and what we are. And it's the truth.
Yes, sir.
And this book describes us like we are.
Yes.
Especially like we are in Adam. Like we are by nature.
You're right.
But that's not the gospel.
Exactly.
The message this book conveys about us is not the gospel. As I've said before, it is the reason we need the gospel.
Yes, sir. That's
but again, in our warfare, in this battle, never dull the gospel sword or the scripture's truth. Here's the point. Subjugation is the goal.
Yes, that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Subjugation is the goal.
Yeah.
That's the end. Do we not read that?
Yeah.
All God's with you.
Yes.
You're going into battle. You got enemies.
Yeah.
And some of those enemies vary. The enemies differ. But they're all enemies.
Exactly.
But some are nearer than others.
Yes.
Some are more an immediate threat than others. But here's what you do in the war. And in the end, here's the truth. Don't cut down the food-bearing trees. Don't dull the edge of the gospel. Now think about this. You should be at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 through 5. Remember, until it be subdued. Thousands today who profess Christianity,
yeah,
who say they preach the gospel. They talk about preach the gospel. They say on TV, radio, internet, send us money to help us keep preaching the gospel. And like Henry Mahan once said, and probably said it many a times, but I never hear them preaching the gospel.
Exactly.
They're always talking about preaching the gospel and us sending them money so they continue to preach the gospel, but they never get down to actually preaching the gospel. And when they do, they distort the gospel.
Yeah.
They pervert the gospel.
Yeah.
They dull the edge. They sit there and beat that gospel sword on a rock.
You're right.
Dull the edge of the gospel. Now listen to what Paul wrote. See, I done turned away from it. I turned back. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I know this is familiar to every one of you here. But let's read it again. And I'll just begin in verse 3 for the sake of time. For though we walk in the flesh, and that's different from other places where Paul talked about walking in the flesh. He taught, we walk in this body.
Exactly.
We walk in these corporeal,
mortal,
corruptible bodies. And most of us have been around long enough, we have experienced the effect of that.
Yeah.
But for though we walk in the flesh, now here's the difference between us and Israel as a nation back in that time. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Israel's battles. Now, there was a spiritual element to it. Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me. But they took up physical arms. And they were going into a land that God had given them, that other people owned. And they were going to subdue. Right? Subdue. I'm not here to justify my God. Our God is in the heavens. We've already heard this. And he's done whatsoever he hath pleased.
Amen.
I'm not here to argue, as some theologians have, the justice or injustice of war. I'm not here to do that. I'm just presenting the truth of God as it gives it in this scripture. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not cutting down trees to make ladders.
Exactly.
Are we? Yeah. We're not cutting down trees to make a battering ram. Yeah. We're not picking up guns and swords. But we have a weapon. Look at it. For the weapons of our warfare, we have weapons, I should say. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God.
Amen.
Mighty through God. Not mighty because of our eloquence. Not mighty because of our prowess.
Right.
Not mighty because of our wisdom. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Amen.
Casting, now we're getting it. Now he's used the illustration, pulling down of strongholds.
Yeah.
Casting down what? What men think.
There you go.
Hmm?
Amen.
What
right.
Men think. But you offend people when you preach like you do. If I'm preaching the gospel, it's going to.
Yeah.
It offended me when I first heard the gospel. Now, for years, I'd heard a perversion of the gospel and knew nothing of this way or that way. But when I first began to hear the gospel, when the two-edged sword of God's gospel started striking me, it hurt. It hurt. It made me angry.
Yes, sir.
It made me mad. Casting down imaginations and every high thing, not just a few high things.
Yeah, right.
Well, we need to fight against abortion. That's all well and good. But you can stop abortion and men still go die and go to hell.
Yeah. Exactly right.
You hear what I'm saying? Well, we need to shut down the booze parlors, need to shut down the red light districts. Do all that.
Yeah.
If it's in your power to stop all those things, then stop them. But it ain't in our power.
No.
Look at where our country's at today.
Yeah.
And we're a civilized Christian nation, don't you know?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And know how people talk?
Well,
I mean, you got Democrats and Republicans. Both of them claim to be Christians, and they're on opposite ends of the poll.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, casting down imaginations and every high thing, here it is, that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God.
Amen.
and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that is twofold. One, God will conquer your heart and mind to bow down to what Christ has accomplished. To bow down to who he is and what he did, what he accomplished, what he secured when he first came to this earth in human flesh and died on that tree, was buried, raised again, and taken back to glory, now seated at the right hand of God, expecting. That's amazing for me to even think about. Here is God in the flesh, expecting what? Till his enemies be made his footstool. Now, you know, you've seen the pictures of, especially years ago, when a king is conquered, and if he's still living, the conqueror will come and put his foot on the neck.
Yep.
That's the words that's being used here. Look, but it's also this. God's people were brought to obey Christ.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And the first place of obedience is to believe him.
Yes, sir.
Everything else flows from that. That which is not of faith is what? Sin. No matter how religious and moral it might be. If it's not of faith, it's a sin.
Exactly.
Thousands take the Lord's table. Isn't that a good thing? Shouldn't everybody take the Lord's table? No. Well, shouldn't everybody be baptized? No. John the Baptist refused to baptize some folk, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
You remember that?
Yeah.
He said, you show me you mean business with God.
Yeah.
Now, I'm paraphrasing what he said. He said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You bring forth works meet for repentance. You show me you mean business. You show me God's done something for you. And you tell me, you show me God subdued you. You show me God bowed you down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Why? Because God Almighty has a people he's going to conquer.
Yes.
And he will besiege them until they are subdued.
Amen.
And while most that profess to be Christians don't like that, don't want to hear that, most probably have never even heard that. Don't you figure? Most know nothing about a conquering Christ, do they? Well, that's Old Testament, right? Oh, no. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And I'm glad that God besieged my city. I'm glad he built up bulwarks against me. He brought out the battering ram of his gospel and banged and banged and banged on my castle walls,
yes, sir,
until they fell flat.
Yes.
And King Jesus marched in and put me in the dirt, Mason, and put his foot on my neck.
There you go.
And it didn't feel good while it was happening, but I thank God now that it has.
Amen.
What are some of these enemies? What are our enemies? What, we know who Israel's enemies was. They were named Hittites, right? Especially though, that's the ones that were close.
Yeah.
Now, there were enemies that were out there in the periphery.
Yeah.
But look, here's some of our enemies. It's everything that's hostile to the truth of God.
Yes.
That's an enemy.
Yes, sir.
Everything that's hostile to the truth of God.
That's right.
And that includes abortion. And it includes many First Baptist churches in many towns that are preaching a perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Here it is. Let me give you this a short list. You may not think it's short when I start with it, but it's a short list. Human will, that's an enemy. Men call it free will. You know what the scripture calls it? Self-will.
Exactly.
God's word calls it self-will.
Yep.
That's an enemy. And this is what God is conquering in the person of his son. Human will, opinion. Well, I know what I think. How many times, especially years ago when the battle just raged, you know?
Yeah.
How many say, well, I know what I believe. It don't matter what you believe. The question is not what you believe. Three different groups of people came to Christ and asked him what he believed about three different subjects. He gave them a quick answer and moved on. And then he asked them a question.
Yeah.
What think ye of Christ?
Exactly.
Hmm? They want to know, should you pay taxes? Blah, 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 blah. He answered their question, but then moved to the question, what think ye of Christ? Now, here was the Christ asking him, what do you think of me? Now, these people believed that Christ was coming. But when he came, they rebelled against him.
Amen.
All the while, still looking for the Christ to come. And he was seated right in front of them.
Exactly.
Opinion. Theories. Theories. Oh, how our world is filled with theories. It used to be called the theory of evolution. Did we get smarter now? It becomes now just evolution. You remember that? I was taught the theory of evolution when I was in school, but it was called that. At least they were honest enough then to call it that.
Exactly.
They found no more proof of evolution than they found proof that my feet have set on the moon.
Exactly.
Theories, proud reasonings. We've heard about that this morning. Speculative arguments. Well, what if?
Yeah, there you go.
What if? You could deal with what ifs till the cows come home, as we say. And you don't get anywhere.
Exactly.
Speculative argument. Pride. We heard about that, didn't we? Pride. Self-righteousness. I'm a sinner, but I'm not an ungodly sinner. In some circles, it's almost cliche today to say, well, I'm a sinner. Oh, I'm just a sinner. But yet, are you? Ask somebody sometime. You're an ungodly sinner, right? Well, I know I ain't that bad.
Exactly.
I'm a sinner, but I ain't that bad. And isn't it amazing how we could all, I don't care if you're the worst whore on the street, selling yourself for $10. And I'd say you get a lot of business if you did it for $10. You can always find somebody that's worse than you.
Oh, yeah.
But we're not talking about somebody else. We're talking about God Almighty and His holy law. How do you stack up to that? That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Self-righteousness. As one preacher said, and I think Paul said it, or at least alluded to, we could be proud even in our own humility. Pride of face, pride of race, and we even get proud of grace.
You're right.
Boy, I ain't like them bunch of freewheelers over there. Well, I was one time. I was one time, and King Jesus came in and conquered me.
Yes.
Conquered me. Self-sufficiency. Human autonomy. Boy, don't we want that today in this country.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? We don't even want the police to arrest suspects anymore.
Yeah.
Human autonomy. Emotionalism. We are filled, flooded. Christian churches, put that in quotes, are filled with emotionalism. Here's Christ's emotionalism. He feeds people and gives their bellies full. And then he turns around and said, the only reason you're following me is because you got your bellies full. Now let me speak words of truth to you.
Yes, sir.
And when he did, he had 5,000. There were probably more than that. But he had 5,000 plus his 12. And they all said, whew. When he began to speak the truth. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I'll raise that man up the last day. And they shall all be taught of God. Who? These people?
Yeah.
These elect people? These predestinated people? Preacher, I never heard something like that before. You need to get to a church that preaches those things.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what you get. Leave where you're at.
Yeah.
You don't have to come here, but go somewhere where they're preaching the truth of God. Now they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father. So that includes how many? Every one of them.
That's right.
Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father does what? He comes to me.
Amen.
That's God Almighty coming in and besieging your city until you are subdued. And when God does that to you, you'll be happy.
Yes. Yeah.
You'll be happy.
Yes,
and you'll know it wouldn't have worked had God tried it any other way.
Exactly.
Here's a try Jesus. Boy, ain't that a big one. Try Jesus. You don't try Jesus. You bow down to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You submit at his feet. Now, it would be easier on us as the elect of God if we just bowed down to the truth when we first heard it.
Yeah.
Would it not?
Oh, yeah.
But we've got so much pride and rebellion in here. We will not do it, and we've still got trouble with it even after he subdues us.
Amen.
He knocks down our castle walls and crumbles it into powder, and every particle reeks with pride and self-righteousness. And that what? Autonomy. Emotionalism. Here's a self-determination.
Oh, yeah.
Anarchy.
Yep.
Anarchy. I tell you how I know men hate God. Because look at how men and women are doing in this country today.
Yeah.
They despise government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You think they don't despise God?
Exactly.
Hmm?
Right.
They despise God. But I'll tell you, God's conquering some of them.
Yes, sir.
It may to us seem to be nothing. We don't see all that, Joe, but God's conquering some people. And here's another thing that's going to get people's goats. God's going to bring you the gospel through another sinner.
Yes, sir.
He's not going to come down and preach it to you yourself personally.
Right.
There's going to be a conquered sinner that God's going to send to you to preach to you of the conquering Savior.
Yes, sir.
And that's why, because it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Let me get to the second point in number one first. Remember, don't take off the gospel sword, the edge of the gospel sword. Jesus Christ accomplished some things when he died.
Yes, sir.
But here's the second edge of that sharp sword, the scripture's truth. Isaiah puts it this way. Now, I know he's talking about Israelites. But Romans 3, Paul lets us know, Jews and Gentiles, we're all the same.
Yeah,
and it says we are wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. And he said, you've not been bound up, never mollified with them. And why should I strike you more? You'll just revolt more and more. What's got to happen? God's got to heal the wounds.
Yes, sir.
He's got to heal the wounds.
That's right.
God has to abase our pride.
Yeah.
God has to show us what our self-righteousness really is in his sight. And I thank God that he's doing it by his Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. His Spirit will come and breathe life in a sovereign act, a sovereign fiat of God. But he will, in every case, send his gospel to that person that he's breathed life upon. And they will find themselves conquered at the feet of King Jesus. Now, that's my question to everyone. If you listen to me on Sunday morning, when this tape, this actual broadcast goes out, I'm asking you, is that the Jesus that you claim to know?